in the limelight.
Flush with cash, a PAC appears to be a heavy weight in this year's U.S. midterm elections as it goes after progressives and floods its preferred candidates with millions. Dear listeners, this was part of an article written by Jessica Boxbaum, journalist. This article is published under the heading, As the Midterms Approach, a PAC Throws Its Weight and Money Around Washington. Stay tuned for more. Last week, Representative Chantel Brown defeated Nina Turner in an Ohio Democratic primary race for the second time in 9 months. Turner had been endorsed by Progressive Squad member Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and is a vocal critic of the fabricated regime of Israel. Her loss is largely seen as a win for the Israel lobby and specifically the American-Israel Public Affairs Committee, APAC. In December, APAC launched two political action committees, PACs, as a way to be more effective in fulfilling their mission in the current political environment, according to a statement published by the group on social media. In less than 6 months since it was established, APAC's PAC has delivered $6 million to hundreds of candidates, becoming the biggest pro-Israel PAC in the United States of America. While its super PAC, the United Democracy Project, UDP, has raised nearly $16 million in contributions. Since APAC's PAC operates as a traditional PAC, it can only spend $5,000 per candidate, but its super PAC can spend unlimited amounts of money. APAC said in a statement about its fundraising, "Our goal is to make America's friendship with Israel so robust, so certain, so broadly based, and so dependable that even the deep divisions of American politics can never imperil that relationship and the ability of the Jewish state to defend itself." Unquote. Flush with cash, APAC appears to be a heavy weight in this year's U.S. midterm elections as it goes after progressives and floods its prepared and preferred candidates with millions. APAC congratulated Representative Brown on her election victory, writing that it's proud to stand with pro-Israel progressive leaders running against anti-Israel candidates. Endorsed by APAC, Brown received significant financial backing from the organization. According to campaign tracker Open Secrets, Brown received $83,171 from APAC Super PAC, UDP, and nearly $270,000 from its regular PAC, according to the Federal Election Commission. UDP also spent nearly $200,000 against Brown's opponent, Turner. UDP spokesman Patrick Dorton told Jewish Insider about the PAC's election season plans. "We intend to be active in a significant number of races where there is a clear difference between a candidate who supports a strong U.S.-Israel relationship and a candidate that does not or who may seek to undermine that relationship," unquote. Turner was targeted by the lobby for supporting conditioning aid to the fabricated regime of Israel and standing in solidarity with Palestine on Twitter. APAC has also had its hand in several other key races across the United States of America. The group had been actively involved in the Texas race between Jessica Cineros and Representative Henry Culler, as well as Pennsylvania's fight between Representative Summer Lee and Steve Irvin, According to FEC filings, AIPAC has spent over $1 million against Representative Lee and a combined total of more than $600,000 from both its PAC and Super PAC for Ervin. AIPAC's regular PAC must disclose its donor list, but the Super PAC isn't required to reveal contributors' identities. Both PAC's donors are a mix of real estate and finance moguls, but there are some notable contributors. Israeli-American media tycoon Haim Saban contributed the largest amount to UDP, with a donation of $1 million, but he isn't the only company head funneling pro-Israeli campaign contributions. The CEOs of several firms have also donated to the PACs. Ballot Flats brand Tix co-founder and CEO Kefir Gavirelli gave $5,000 to AIPAC's PAC. The founder, CEO, and president of Tasty Brands, David Horowitz, pumped $50,000 into UDP. Jimmy Haber, CEO of BLT Restaurant Group, donated $5,000 to the regular PAC. Fernando Stiu, CEO of Mar Vista Entertainment, which was required by Fox in December, contributed $3,500 to AIPAC's PAC. Grant F. Smith, the director of the Institute for Research, Middle Eastern Policy, IRMEP, sees these donor disclosures as an opportunity for the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement to more strategically target the fabricated regime of Israel's lobby. AIPAC has really exposed itself in the United States and provided a fairly wide open arena for people who don't like their programs to start talking about their donors in ways that have never been possible before, Smith said. Yet with these significant political contributions comes significant political sway. Mega donor Saban has had a strong foothold in politics for decades. In 2002, he gave $13 million to the Brookings Institution to establish the Saban Center for Middle East Policy, now the Center for Middle East Policy. The center's founding director, Martin Indyk, openly supported the invasion of Iraq in 2003. Saban's money has also kept former President Barack Obama and former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton in line with regard to the Zionist regime. The donations by Israel partisans have managed to keep almost every elected representative in Israel's pocket with almost no exceptions. Alison Weir, American journalist and founder of Research Institute, If Americans Knew, told Mint Press News. AIPAC's PACs aren't backed just by CEO investors, but also by the organization itself. AIPAC's own employees have channeled more than $80,000 into its regular PAC. Within that sum, AIPAC President Betsy Korn poured $10,000 into the regular PAC through her company, B-Vision Sports Media. AIPAC received widespread criticism for endorsing 109 of the 147 Republicans who voted against certifying the 2020 presidential election results following the January 6 insurrection at Capitol Hill. For Hickson, this development is telling because it underscores the growing divide among American Jews. AIPAC is becoming increasingly viewed as the Republican wing of the lobby, he said. Since its creation, a core tenet of AIPAC has been its bipartisanship, but Hickson believes AIPAC is moving farther and farther away from its original doctrine, explaining AIPAC hasn't cut off funding to Democrats who will take a pro-Israel line, but the fact that they support the far right and have identified so closely with former President Donald Trump is a significant change because it encourages these splits in a liberal Jewish so-called community. Polling suggests American Jews are becoming more critical of the fabricated regime of Israel, with a quarter considering it an apartheid regime. Democratic voters are also taking a harsher position on this regime, with a majority supporting sanctions over Israel's settlement activity and more than 40% believing the U.S. should withhold aid to the Zionist regime. A University of Maryland poll also found that fewer than 1% of Democratic respondents view the Zionist regime as the U.S. first or second most important ally. According to Smith, AIPAC has always purported to be unified voice of the American Jewish community, but that self-proclaimed title isn't true. During the joint IRMEP and American Educational Institute, Israel's Influence, Good or Bad for America, 2016 conference, Smith debunked the lobby's false narrative that Americans who are Jewish are all Israel Affinity Organization members who support lobbying from these groups. According to a 2013 Pew Research Center survey on Jewish identity, 82% of American Jews aren't members of Israel lobbying organizations. Smith accordingly asked at the conference, "So who does the lobby really represent? Well, the views and concerns of mega donors for sure. The views and concerns of a relatively small group of boards and directors and top officials, and of course, the Israeli regime, with which many are in direct and ongoing consultation." With Jewish and Democratic voters becoming less concerned with the alliance between the United States of America and the Zionist regime, the gap between representative and constituents appears to be widening. As Weir put it, it's a contest between the elites that fund candidates and the grassroots that often want something different. So we are seeing that the elites, almost all of whom are pro-Israel, will continue giving huge amounts of money to candidates and buying a lot of candidates that way.